بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه وبعد. In the last session, Ikhwan, we looked at some of the affairs related to the beginnings of the da'wah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We looked at the fact that the persecution, the first of those who were persecuted, was the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we also looked at those who had embraced in the beginning of the affair. In the Bidayah, Ikhwan, it is oftentimes mentioned in many of the books of Sirah that it was the weak who embraced and the weak who entered Islam. Na'am, no doubt there is, in that which is established from Athar and narration, that which establishes the fact that there was a large number of du'afa, a large number of weak individuals who did embrace. And what is intended by the weak, not necessarily the weak physically, but the weak, mathalan, in terms of their martaba and their standing among the people of Quraysh and the tribe of Quraysh, in terms of their wealth and their station, that they were lowly, either that they were slaves or that they were from the poor, and the masakin and those who didn't have great station among the Arab at that time. And that, of course, Ikhwan, yani fi'lan, is the case that a number of them, a large number of them, did embrace. But what should be known is that their embracing Islam, Ikhwan, wasn't the first affair. Yani their, that is the Muslimun and the Sahaba Ridwan Allah alayhim, they embraced initially in dufu'at or dufa'at. You know, there were waves of sahabi and sahaba who embraced. The initial wave was not the weak wave or the weaker wave. The initial wave, in actuality, Ikhwan, the bulk of them were notable, either notables themselves or that they were of notable lineage from notable families, and they heard about the da'wah of the Messenger of Allah, they listened to the da'wah, and they were affected by it. Many of them were young, some of them were older and closer in age to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But it is yani safe to say that the majority of those who embraced in that initial wave of those who entered Islam, Ikhwan, that they were from the higher echelons, if you like, of Quraysh, from the more notable individuals among them. We heard, Ikhwana, we looked at the fact that Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu was from the first of those who embraced, from the freedmen, and that indeed the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, after he began giving da'wah, his da'wah, Ikhwan, the first of those who embraced from among the young ones, from among the children, that was Ali radiallahu anhu. The first of the women, of course, was Khadija. The first of the slaves was Zaid. And the first, Ikhwan, or from the awa'il, or the first of the freedmen, was Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, radiallahu anhu. Abu Bakr, after he embraced Islam, he was active in giving da'wah and in calling individuals to Islam. And you'll see that the initial wave of individuals who embraced, particularly those who embraced at the hands of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, were either relatives or cousins or close friends, or they had some form of lineage and connection in lineage with the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. And no doubt that returns back to the statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla, وَأَنذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ, and give da'wah or call and warn عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ, your close tribesmen, yani your close relatives. And that call, no doubt, and that amr from the awamir of Allah Azza wa Jal was fulfilled by the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From the first of them to embrace, Ikhwan, was Uthman, from those who embraced at the hands of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. From the first of them to embrace was Uthman, and we mentioned some of their names previously. From the first of those to embrace was Uthman. Uthman, radiallahu anhu, was some 6 or so years younger than the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was born 6 years after Amul Fil, so he was some 6 or so years younger than the Messenger, just as Abu Bakr as-Siddiq was 2 years younger than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so they were mature men, yani they were men of age, that initial group that entered. Similarly, we had the likes of Zubayr ibn Awam. Zubayr ibn Awam, ikhwan, he was considered from the Hawari of the Messenger, from the close supporters and those who used to aid the Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam. And Zubayr, he, without doubt, ikhwan, it was said concerning him that he was, because of his mother, that he was from the strongest and firmest of the companions, ridwanullahi alayhim. Zubayr, his mother was Safiya binti Abdul Muttalib. His mother was the aunt of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the paternal aunt of the Messenger of Allah, Safiya, and she used to beat Zubayr. Yani she used to beat him severely, and that was something that was known concerning the upbringing of Zubayr, that she used to beat him. And there's a narration, and perhaps we'll mention it, wherein she, radiallahu anha, yani she used to beat him to the extent that people used to stop her and would address her concerning her beating her son. But she intended by way of that nothing but to strengthen him. That was her claim, that was what she said, that she intended to strengthen him. In that regard, we have an authentic narration that mentions Kanat Safiya, that is Safiya binti Abdul Muttalib, the mother of Zubayr, تضرب الزبير ضربا شديدا وهو يتيم. And she used to beat him severely, and he was an orphan. وقيل لها, not advocating beating children severely, in tabi ikhwan. Especially since this is online, we made that clear. نعم. وهو يتيم, and he was an orphan. فقيل لها قتلته. And so it was said to her, you've killed him. Yani literally, you've killed him with beating. خلأت فواده. Yani you've beaten the sense out of him. And so they would speak to her, they would address her concerning how she used to beat her son. قالت إنما أدربه كي يلب. She said, indeed, I beat him so that he'll have sense. And so she had intended by way of that to strengthen Zubayr and to make him يعني, a strong and a hard man. And that was something that occurred, that Zubayr radiallahu anhu, he grew to be a well-known, hard, strong warrior. It was said that there was not an area on his body that was free of a wound from war. And he had a large wound on his neck that was like a golf ball that his son Abdullah ibn Zubayr used to climb on his back and play in the hole in the back of his neck that he had from warfare. But when he was young, the narration continues, when he was young, an individual fought against him when he was a young ghulam, when he was a young boy or a youth. فَكَسَرَ يَدَهُ وَضَرَبَهُ ضَرْبًا شَدِيدًا. And so he broke his hand, that is, he broke the man's hand, and ضَرَبَهُ ضَرْبًا شَدِيدًا, he beat him severely. فَمَرَّ بِالرَّجُلِ عَلَى الصَّفِيَّةِ وَهِيَ يَحْمِلْ وَهِيَ يُهْمَلْ. And so the man passed by Safiya and he was being carried. And so Safiya, she said, what has, يعني ما شأنه? What has occurred? What happened with him? And so he said, it was said to her, قَاتَلَهُ Zubayr, that Zubayr fought against him. يعني, it was Zubayr that did that. That it was Zubayr that did that. And so she said, وَكَيْفَ وَجَدْتُهُ زُبْرًا أَقِطْ حَسَبْتَهُ أَمْ تَمْرَى. She said, how do you find him? Was he like cottage cheese? Was he like dates, soft dates? Or was he a strong, swift hawk? And naturally, him being carried, he knew the consequence and he knew the answer to the question. So the point is, ikhwan, that the likes of those earlier companions, ridwanullahi alayhim, the first wave of companions that embraced Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, Uthman, Zubair. These were notables, ikhwan, from notable families and notable backgrounds. Similarly, from them, we had the likes of Abdul Rahman ibn Auf. And Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, incidentally, Zubair, ikhwan, it is said concerning Zubair that he embraced, there is some difference of opinion among the scholars of Tariq and the scholars of history and Siyar. From them were those who held that he embraced at 16 years old. From them are those who mention 15. Others mention 12. And there are some narrations that affirm that he was actually 8 when he embraced. That is, scholars differ concerning exactly what age he was, but there is no khilaf that he was younger than 20 years old, meaning that he was a shab when he embraced Islam, and he, of course, is from the Ashara al-Mubashareen bil-Jannah, that he is from those who has been given glad tidings of Jannah. Similarly, we have the likes of Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, who was, when he embraced, some 33 years old. Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, again, ikhwan, who was Zuhri, and thus he was from the greatest and most notable of the tribes of Quraysh. And he was from those who embraced early. He participated in both Hijrah, the Hijrah to Habasha, to Abyssinia, and the Hijrah to Medina. He participated in the Battle of Badr, and in Uhud, and the other battles that took place at the time of the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he passed away, he was some 75 years old. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, Sa'd ibn Malik, again, was from among Ikhwan, the early companions, the earliest of those who embraced, and it is said concerning him that he was Sabi'u Sab'a, that he was the seventh of seven. That is, there was only seven of the companions when Sa'd, or there were six before him, when Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas embraced radiallahu anhu Abu Ishaq. And he was from among those, ikhwan, again, who embraced young. He was some, again, some difference of opinion concerning exactly what age he was. But the opinions revolved between 17 and 19. He was either 17 or 19. Yeah? And so he was still a shab, still a young boy when he embraced. And he's the first person who used a saham and used an arrow in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was the first person to use an arrow in the way of Allah, and fighting fi sabilillah. He was well known likewise to be mujab da'wah. That is, he was known to be from among those whose dua was accepted. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. From them similarly, Talha ibn Ubaidillah. Talha ibn Ubaidillah was from among those again who embraced Ikhwan when they were young. Talha was 18 when he embraced Islam, and again, Ikhwan, he was Qurashi Taymi, and from noble, upright lineage. Similarly, from them, we had the likes, Ikhwan, of Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah. Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah, whose name was actually Amir ibn Abdullah ibn al-Jarrah, he again was from the 10 who were promised Jannah, and from the earliest of those who embraced at the time of the Messenger. He passed away, Ikhwan, and was or died of the plague in a place known as Amawas, and that was in the 18th year after Hijrah. And he was 58 when he passed away. From them was the likes of Abu Salama. Abu Salama, Ikhwan, the husband of Salama, radiallahu anhuma, whose name, his full name was Abdullah ibn Abdul Asad. And again, Ikhwan, he was of noble lineage. He was Qurashi and Makhzumi. And he was the cousin of the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was likewise the brother of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from breastfeeding. Him, Hamza, and the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the three of them were brothers from breastfeeding. You remember we mentioned that from the wet nurses of the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was Thuwaybah. All three of them were suckled by Thuwaybah radiallahu anha. Similarly, we have the likes of Al-Arqam ibn Abi Al-Arqam. And we mentioned, Ikhwan, that Al-Arqam was from the companions who, number one, was early in embracing, and number two, his home was in actuality the first base of the believers. And that is that the believers, ikhwan, they used to come together in the house of Al-Arqam. Initially, they used to pray in some of the passageways of Mecca. Yani they didn't have anywhere that gathered them. Rather, they would just come together wherever they could, and they would pray in the passageways of Mecca. And on an occasion, they prayed in one of the passageways of Mecca, and some of the mushrikun saw them and began to fight against them, and they were attacked on that occasion. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas struck one of them with the head of his camel. That during the attack, he took the head and the jaw of his camel, and he threw his head at the head of the individual, struck him in the head, wounded him, and he died. And he died, he passed away, and that was the first case of an individual dying at the hands of any of the Muslimun. And that was, of course, them defending themselves as they prayed. And so thereon after, they took the house of Al-Arqam, Ibn Abi Al-Arqam, as a base, ikhwan, for the da'wah. And for them calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What should be mentioned, ikhwan, and it is a point to mention, is that the persecution, and we'll see when we come to it, but the persecution, ikhwan, it didn't start initially. The persecution was something that occurred, and we'll read one of the statements of Ibn Ishaq, so we'll leave that till we come to that point concerning that. Now, similarly from them, and we'll mention, ikhwan, some of their names because of the importance of us knowing and being acquainted with who the earliest of the companions were. From them, Uthman ibn Mad'un al-Jumahi. Uthman ibn Mad'un, him and his brother Qudama ibn Mad'un al-Jumahi, they were likewise Qurashi. Yani they were of noble lineage and from the best and from the noblest of the tribe of Quraysh. And it should be mentioned that the tribe of Quraysh, when it has subsections, subsidiary branches, and those branches, ikhwan, all of them return back to the main tribe of Quraysh. But these were Jumahi, yani they were of that branch, and were considered, ikhwan, from the noblest of the tribe of Quraysh. Uthman, he embraced after some 13 men. That is, there were 13 of the believers prior to him, and he embraced after some 13 men. And so he, again, was from the earliest of those who embraced Islam. And he was the first of the Muhajirun to pass away in Medina. Uthman ibn Mad'un was the first of the Muhajirun to pass away in Medina, and he was buried in the Baqi'. And that, ikhwan, occurred after the Battle of Badr. He participated in the Battle of Badr, and he passed away in the second year after Hijrah. Similarly, Qudama ibn Mad'un, his brother, who was, incidentally, ikhwan, Uthman and Qudama, they were the maternal uncles of Hafsa and of Abdullah ibn Umar. They were the maternal uncles of Hafsa and Abdullah ibn Umar, radiallahu anhum, ajma'in. Likewise, ikhwan, from them was Abdullah ibn Mad'un, who was the third brother of the three. And he was from among those who passed away later. He passed away during the Khilafah of Uthman, radiallahu anhu. So we see, ikhwan, how it is, cousins, uncles, brothers, sisters, yani they're all in relative close proximity one to another, relatives now. With him, the one that I mentioned earlier, you mean? No, not to my knowledge, Allahu Alam, not to my knowledge. Similarly, And Abdullah. Likewise, we have Ubaidah ibn al-Harith ibn Abdul Muttalib. Again, Ibn Abdul Muttalib al-Qurashi. Ibn Abdul Muttalib al-Qurashi. We hear this name, ikhwan, Safiya, even among the women, Safiya ibn Abdul Muttalib, binti Abdul Muttalib. So we see, ikhwan, that they were in close proximity, ikhwan, they were from among those who were in relation or relatives one of another. They were close in relation one to another. From them, Sa'id ibn Zayd. And Sa'id ibn Zayd, ikhwan, the wife, upon the husband of the sister of Umar radiallahu anha, radiallahu anhu, Fatima radiallahu anha. Fatima, her husband was Sa'id ibn Zayd, and his full lineage, Sa'id ibn Zayd ibn Amr ibn Nufayl al-Qurashi al-Adawi. Again, Qurashi Adawi, of noble lineage, of noble, yani having noble station. And again, one of the ten who were promised Jannah. Sa'id ibn Zayd ibn Amr ibn Nufayl. Amr ibn Nufayl, naam. Naam. Al-Qurashi al-Adawi. The Amr ibn Nufayl, naam. And he was, again, Ikhwan, the number one, the wife of the sister of Umar, Fatima, and was the cousin of Umar as well. And he is the one, Ikhwan, that it is said that Umar entered upon and slapped him when he was reciting the Quran, as we'll go on to see, Ikhwan, the hadith in actuality is da'if and is not established from the qissa or the story of the Islam of Umar. Now, Sa'id ibn Zayd was likewise mustajab al-da'wah. That is, he was likewise from among those companions who was well known for his dua being answered, and he passed away, radiallahu anhu, in Al-Aqiq, which is a valley, a wadi, just outside or in the around the perimeters of, runs through Medina and around Medina, and he was carried from the valley of Aqiq, where he passed away, into Al-Madinah, and he likewise is buried in the Baqiyah. Likewise from them, his wife Fatima, the bint and the daughter of Al-Khattab, the sister of Umar radiallahu anhu, similarly Asma bint Abi Bakr. Asma bint Abi Bakr radiallahu anha, she was the wife of Az-Zubayr. She was the wife of Az-Zubayr. And of course, Ikhwan, they had their noble child, Abdullah ibn Zubayr, who it was said concerning him on that occasion, when the Messenger, after he was caught, he gave the blood to Abdullah ibn Zubayr to dispose of it. And so, when he went with the blood of the Messenger, yani he recognized Baraka. And so he drank the blood of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and then returned. And so when he returned, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "What have you done with the blood?" And so he said, "I have put it somewhere, no one will find it." And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he made that statement concerning him, that this is the son of his father, Abdullah ibn Zubayr radiallahu anhu, who was likewise a courageous warrior, Ikhwan, well known, and that warrior who was killed at the hands of man, Hajjaj bin Yusuf, the one who was killed at the hands of Hajjaj bin Yusuf, but beheaded by Hajjaj bin Yusuf. Na'am, and so his mother Asma was the sister of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, radiallahu anha, and she was the older sister of Aisha radiallahu anha. The daughter of Abu Iskud? No, the daughter of Abu Bakr. Daughter of Abu Bakr, na'am. The daughter of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq and the sister of Aisha radiallahu anha. And she, as we mentioned, was the older sister of Aisha radiallahu anha. And she passed away having 73 years after Hijra, and she was older than 100 years old. When she passed away, Ikhwan, it was well known that she maintained her beauty. She maintained, or she looked well for her age, even though she was older than 100. It was said that you could not know, or you would not know that she was of that age. She maintained her beauty, and she from the things that is mentioned, Ikhwan, and there is an error in the seerah of Al-Imam ibn Hisham. One of the things that is mentioned in the seerah of Al-Imam ibn Hisham is that he mentioned that the Islam of Aisha radiallahu anha was in the sana al-ula min al-bi'tha. And that is a clear mistake. Sana al-ula min al-bi'tha, that she, her, yeah, that is Aisha, she embraced Islam the first year after the sending of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that is a clear mistake, ikhwan, because she wasn't even born sana al-ula after the bi'tha. What is most correct is that she was born some 4 years or so after the bi'tha, or after the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent as a Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so Ahlul Ilm mentioned that is one of the errors that is present the seerah of Ibn Ishaq. Now, from them likewise, ikhwan, from the women, we have the likes of Lubaba bint al-Harith al-Hilaliyah, and she was the wife of al-Abbas ibn Abdul Muttalib, and she was the sister of Umm al-Mu'mineen Maymuna. She was the sister of Maymuna radiyallahu anhuma, and the khala, or the auntie, of Khalid bin Walid. She was the auntie, that is the maternal auntie of Khalid bin Walid, and the sister of Asma bint Umays. Asma bint Umays was the wife of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu. The wife of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu. And after Abu Bakr passed away, in actuality she was initially the wife of Ja'far, Ja'far يعني ibn Abi Talib, the brother of Ali radiyallahu anhu. After the death of Ja'far, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam married her to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu. And after the death of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, Ali radiyallahu anhu married her. Ali married her radiyallahu anhu ajma'in. And so, ikhwan, this affair of يعني marrying, or a companion marrying his, or after his death marrying the wife of one of the companions, is something that there was no issue. They didn't have any issue with. In fact, the Prophet ﷺ was the one that encouraged arranged and married Abu Bakr as-Siddiq to her, even though she was married previously to one of his companions, Ja'far, his companion and his cousin, radiallahu anhum ajma'in. Na'am. Likewise, ikhwan, from them was Khabbab ibn al-Arat. And Khabbab ibn al-Arat was from among those, though he was Arabi, may not necessarily, ikhwan, have been from the more noble of the tribes, but he nonetheless was from among those who were well known among the Arab and the tribe of Quraysh, and he was a blacksmith in actuality. He was the one that was well known for forging swords among the people of Mecca. Yani that Khabbab, he was a blacksmith, and he was from those who were severely tortured and severely persecuted in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we'll mention, ikhwan, the stories and the narrations concerning the punishments and the manners in which they were persecuted at the hands of Quraysh in that which is to come bi'idhnillah. But Khabbab, ikhwan, was from those who were persecuted in the way of Allah azza wa jal, to the extent that he lost all of the skin of his back. All of the skin of his back, ikhwan, was burnt away, and was he lost it during the period of persecution. Similarly, ikhwan, from them we have Utbah ibn Ghazawan. Utbah ibn Ghazawan was considered likewise Sabi'u Sab'a. He was considered the seventh of seven. And this statement, Sabi'u Sab'a, Rabi'u Arba'a, the fourth of three, the fourth of four, the seventh of seven, the scholars, when they look and they gather those narrations, they say, well, how is it that we have Sa'ad saying that I was Sabi'u Sab'a, and here Utbah saying that he was Sabi'u Sab'a, the seventh of seven? Yani, how do we understand those narrations? Those narrations are understood in accordance with that which they knew, or in accordance with their knowledge. And so what occurred was that there were others who embraced that they had no knowledge of. And so the statement of theirs that I was the seventh of seven was in accordance with their knowledge, even though they may possibly have been individuals who had embraced that they were unaware of. And that is generally how Ahlul Ilm mention and tie those narrations together. Similarly, ikhwan, from them it was the likes of Umayr ibn Abi Waqqas. Umayr ibn Abi Waqqas was the brother of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. Again, Ikhwan, we see brothers, relatives, friends, uncles, aunties, cousins. We see that it was the close relatives, those who stemmed from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and those who embraced from the earliest of those who embraced and were close to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, took his da'wah and then embraced Islam. And he no doubt was qadim, and his Islam was early, and he was from among those who were killed during the battle of Badr. And as we mentioned, Ikhwan, he was Qurashi and Zuhri in terms of his tribe and in terms of his lineage. We mentioned last week, I believe, or the week before, the affair of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud was from the earliest of those who embraced and embraced Ikhwan as a young boy after being a shepherd and being approached by Abu Bakr and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that miracle took place while he observed, while he was a shepherd. They asked him, since they were in hiding from some of the mushrikun of Quraysh, he asked them, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked Ibn Mas'ud, Afwan, concerning whether or not he had any sheep that had milk. And so he said, I'm not able to share that or to give that away. I have a trust upon me. And so he said, then bring one that doesn't have milk. And so the Prophet ﷺ held onto its udder, and the udder, Ibn Mas'ud mentioned, I saw it filling with milk before my eyes. And then the Messenger ﷺ milked it, they all drank, and then he held the udder and said, return. And it returned back as it was. And so it was on the basis of that and the statements of the Prophet ﷺ when he was reciting the Quran, Ibn Mas'ud heard that Ibn Mas'ud, he approached the Prophet ﷺ and said, I wish for you to teach me from this qawl al-tayyib, from these good statements or this good speech that I hear you saying. And so he went on to mention that the Prophet ﷺ taught me 70 surahs when there was no one but me and the Prophet ﷺ. Now, so after that initial wave, we had a second wave that entered, and that was the wave that we had the majority of the weaker individuals, because it was said concerning the believers and concerning the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that it was a deen that was just, and that it considered the poor, it considered those who were lowly, which was not the case, Ikhwan, with the deen of the mushrikun of the Arab, of Quraysh. Not their deen, Ikhwan, did not consider the poor, did not consider those who were of low lineage and what have you. And so when it was said that the deen of Muhammad, yani he treats everyone equally, that he takes care of and looks after those who are weak, and he gives to the poor and what have you, we had a number of individuals from those who were of a lesser level, Ikhwan, in terms of lineage, or perhaps were slaves, entering Islam thereafter. And so from the second, even though this second wave was a combination or a mixture of those who were of a noble lineage and those who were not so noble in terms of their background. Now, from the Ikhwan, from those who entered Islam on the basis of that second wave, we had the likes of Mas'ud ibn Amr al-Rabi'ah, who again embraced relatively early, and he was the one who was in charge of the ghanaim, or in charge of the spoils of war at the time of the Prophet ﷺ during the battle of Hunayn. That he placed him in charge of the spoils of war, and he was likewise in charge of the wealth, he was in charge of the prisoners of war, the captives. And so the Messenger ﷺ gave him a position, and it was a noble position for him to have. Likewise, we have Salit ibn Amr. Salit ibn Amr, radiallahu anhu, him and likewise his brother Hatib ibn Amr, they were similarly Qurashi, but they were not from that initial wave or the initial batch of individuals that embraced, the majority of them at the hands of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, radiallahu anhu. And those who embraced, Ikhwan, at the hands of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, it is mentioned concerning the initial batch that when they embraced, Ikhwan, there were some of them, or from them, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, and some four individuals that embraced at the hands of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq on one day. يعني that on one day Uthman ibn Affan, Talha ibn Ubaidillah, Zubayr ibn Awam, Sa'd ibn Abu Waqas embraced on one day. And that has in it an indication of the fact that it didn't necessitate that they were all together, since Sa'd considered himself Sabi'u Sab'a, the seventh of seven. So what we have then, or what that indicates, is that Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, after he embraced Islam, that he was active, giving da'wah to those who he knew, those who were close, those who would listen, and that he was actively giving da'wah, ikhwan, and using and spending his wealth in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal. And that is why the Prophet ﷺ praised him and praised the fact that he used his wealth, and no one had or was able to say that they used their wealth in order to aid the deen in the manner in which Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu used his wealth. And the Prophet ﷺ mentions that in praise of him concerning the fadl of and the manaqib of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. So on that first day we had those four embrace, and then on the second day we had Uthman, Uthman ibn Mad'ud, we had Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah, we had Abdurrahman bin Auf, and we have Abu Salama. Similarly, Arqam ibn Abi Arqam, on one day they embraced at the hands of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. Shaghal, active giving da'wah, ikhwan. And that no doubt is a encouragement for every da'i and for every single one of us, ikhwan, that Abu Bakr, when he recognized the haqq that the Messenger of Allah had come with and he embraced, he wasted no time, ikhwan, calling the people to it. Similarly, from them we had the likes of Iyash ibn Abi Rabi'a, and he was the brother of Abu Jahl. He was from among those similarly who embraced Islam relatively early. He was involved in and partook in the first hijrah to Abyssinia, and he returned and made the migration likewise to Medina. In fact, both migrations to Abyssinia, as we're going to go on and see, the migration to Abyssinia actually occurred twice. That it occurred on more than one occasion, and then there was the migration to Al-Madinah. And so he was again from those who embraced early. The reality as it relates to him, though, is that he was from among those who were considered from the mustad'afun, yani from those who were considered oppressed and persecuted, yani from those who received quite severe oppression. Again, the stories of all of them we're going to mention, ikhwan, in that which is to come. From them likewise we have Asma bint Salama, and she was from the earliest of the Muhajirat, and she made the hijrah with her husband Iyash, who was the wife, ikhwan, of Iyash. She made hijrah with her husband to Habasha, and likewise to Al-Madina. Similarly, among their ranks we had the likes of Amir ibn Rabi'a, who again was from the earliest of those who embraced. He witnessed Badr and made the migration, and he was from the Muhajirun and migrated from Mecca to Medina. It was said that he passed away during the Khilafah of Uthman, but what is most correct is that he died a few days before the assassination of Uthman. He died a few days, ikhwan, before the assassination of Uthman radiallahu anhu. Similarly, from them was the likes of Ja'far ibn Abi Talib. Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, who was again Hashimi, and the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the brother of Ali radiallahu anhu. He was from the first of those who embraced. He made the migration to Abyssinia, and in fact he was the one that was placed in charge of the believers. Yani he was made the emir over the believers who had made the hijrah from Mecca to Abyssinia. And it is said concerning Ja'far that he was, of anyone that the companions knew, he was the most resemblant to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, both physically and in character. Yani his nature, his manner of speech, his mannerism, the way he would carry himself, and physically, that he was the most resemblant to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so, yani, it is understood, one could understand why he would be the Emir over the believers and the one in charge of the believers who made the migration to Habasha. Since the Messenger himself, he did not make the migration, Juan, to Abyssinia. When we look at and when we study the affair of their migration, Prophet ﷺ did not migrate with them. But a number of the companions they left, they migrated in order to flee, Ikhwan, the persecution that they were undergoing. Na'am, and so Ja'far, Ikhwan, was from them. He was from among the noblest of the people in the tribe of Quraysh, which again, Ikhwan, all of it is an indication of the fact that it wasn't just, it wasn't just slaves and people of low lineage and the poor who were embracing. Na'am, it is, and it was the poor who were following him. And there were a large number of them, but it is not correct to say when it was only them who embraced. And that is important to note, since it is oftentimes said in our time that it is only people who are, they have nothing left, who have reached the end of their tether in terms of their financial situation and their state, or have, because of some psychological affair or some other issue, some other problem, have come to the end of the end of the road. And then Islam came along, and so they saw that as an alternative to the failing life that they had before them. And that, Ikhwan, again, was not the case now, just as it wasn't the case then. Since that would likewise be the claim at that time. There is nothing, no one but the lowly that follow them. And na'am, that is the case with all of the prophets and the messengers. As occurs in the narration, Ikhwan, when Abu Sufyan, when they were interviewed by Hiraqal, and he asked those questions, he said, is it the notables or the lowly who follow them? And so they said, he said, the lowly. And so he said, na'am, wahum atba' al-rusul. And they're the followers of the messengers. So there is no debate whether or not it was the low ones in terms of lineage and finances and economically weak, then yes, but it was not them alone. And these names, Ikhwan, the list is long. The list of those who embrace from among the noble is long, men and women. From them, Fatima binti Mujallal. Fatima binti Mujallal, again, was Qurashi, and she was Amiriya, and her name was, or her kunya was Jamil, and she was from the earliest of those who embraced, and she was the wife of Hatib ibn al-Harith. She was the wife of Hatib ibn al-Harith. She, unfortunately, though, her husband passed away in Habasha. Her husband Hatib passed away in Habasha, and so she returned and made the hijrah to Medina alone, her and her son or her children. Likewise, Ikhwan, we have from among the women the likes of Fukayha binti Yasar, who was the wife of Khattab ibn al-Harith al-Jumahi. She again was from the Muhajirat. She embraced Islam early. Ibn Sa'd, he mentions, Aslamat qadiman bi Makkah wa bayat wa hajarat al hijratayn, that she embraced early in Medina, early in Makkah, and she made the Pledge of Allegiance, gave the Pledge of Allegiance. That Pledge of Allegiance, the Prophet ﷺ took from the companions, male and female, that they would obey Allah Azza wa Jal and His Messenger, stay away from zina, fornication, stay away from muharramat and what have you. They gave a Pledge of Allegiance to the Prophet ﷺ, and she was from those who gave the Pledge of Allegiance among the women, since the Prophet ﷺ did it among the men, and he likewise did it among the women. And when he went to stretch out his hand to them, when they went to stretch out their hands to him, he informed them of the fact that he does not touch the hands of women. Likewise, from among them, Ikhwan, we have the likes of Ma'mar ibn al-Harith al-Qurashi al-Jumahi. Again, Qurashi Jumahi. All of these names, Ikhwan, all of these companions, all of them were of noble lineage. He was a brother of Hatim al-Hattab,
Hatib, incidentally, and Hattab, both of them were brothers, Hatib and Hattab ibn al-Harith. They were both brothers who were of the noble Jumahi branch of Quraysh. From them, Ikhwan, we have the likes of Suhaib ibn Sinan and Nimri al-Rumi. Suhaib ibn Sinan, Ikhwan, though he's oftentimes referred to as Suhaib al-Rumi or Suhaib the Roman, he actually wasn't Roman. Suhaib al-Rumi was actually Farisi. He was born in a region in Mosul. And he was from, he was of Persian origin. And his father was from among the Wulat and from among those who had great station in Persia until they were fought against by the Romans. The Romans invaded Persia, that is, it was northern Iraq. In fact, it is said concerning him that he was born and raised in the region of Nineveh. When the Romans invaded Iraq, they had taken a number of individuals as prisoners of war. And that is men, women and children. From those who were taken then was Suhaib. Suhaib, when he was taken by the Romans, he was taken at a young age, but the Mu'arrikhun and the scholars of history, they say that he was old enough to remember his lineage, to remember his father, to remember his background, and so he knew who his father was. He knew his lineage, but he was raised among the Romans, and so he had, as it was said concerning him in his biography, it mentions that he. كان في لسانه عجمة شديدة. كان في لسانه عجمة شديدة. يعني that he had a strong non-Arab tongue. يعني that was a strong foreign accent. نعم. And that was possibly because of the fact that part of that was Persian and part of it was Roman. He was born among the Persians, grew among the Romans, and then entered Arabia. Suhaib al-Rumi in actuality, Ikhwan, was Persian in origin, yani Iraqi in origin, was referred to as the Roman because of the fact that he had come from Rome and was nurtured and grew among them as a slave or as a prisoner of war. Similarly, Ikhwan, from them we had the likes of Ammar ibn Yasir. Whose lineage, or in terms of his tribe, he was Mizhaji. Ammar ibn Yasir, al-Midhaji thumma al-Abasi. And so they were from Bani Makhzum. They were from, in terms of the tribe, it was a noble tribe, though they were less well-to-do among them. But the lineage, Ikhwan, the family of Ammar bin Yasir, they were Ansi. The Ansi tribe, Ikhwan, was a fair tribe among them, and so though they were poor, they were still of relative noble and well-known lineage. And of course, Ikhwan, the family of Yasir went through much by way of persecution. We'll read and we'll come across those stories in the weeks that are to come, bi-ithnillah. Since, Ikhwan, we have numerous narrations concerning the persecution of Quraysh, how they persecuted individuals among these. And so we mention these names that you may be acquainted with them, and that you may be acquainted, Ikhwan, with their affair when we come to a mention of how they were persecuted, or the hardships that they went through in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But as far as Ammar ibn Yasir was concerned, then the family, Ikhwan, generally the lineage of Ammar, or the family of Ammar, they were taken previously as slaves. And so they were taken as slaves, they were eventually freed. And that was something, Ikhwan, again, a note to mention, particularly among those who claim, from the yani, Pan-Africanists and what have you, who claim that alongside European slavery, we also have the, yani, that is European slavery of Africans, we likewise have the slavery of the Arab. And some go on to mention that it was far worse than European slavery. Number one, the slavery of the Arab was not only, Ikhwan, for Africans. The slavery of the Arab, Ikhwan, they were people that enslaved their own people. They were Arab tribes that were enslaved by Arabs. And that was something in actuality, as we've mentioned in previous sittings, that is something that occurred, Ikhwan, the world over. It was not just taking place among the Europeans and Africans. You had Africans enslaving Africans, Europeans enslaving Europeans. And in fact, people would put themselves into bondage because of the fact that they were burdened with debt with great loans that they had taken, and so they had huge debts upon themselves, and so some of them would offer themselves as slaves. I'm not able to pay, but you can take me as a slave. And they would work for an individual willingly. And so the affair then, as we will see, and we'll see, Ikhwan, as we go through the seerah, that the Arab enslaved themselves. They enslaved the Arab. The affair of slavery then was not something that returned back to racism among the Arab. And that wasn't an issue, or wasn't the issue among them. As far as slavery was concerned, Ikhwan, then its causes were far broader than racism. Now, from them we likewise have, and as far as the family, Ikhwan, of Yasir, Ammar bin Yasir, his father Yasir, his mother Sumayya, we'll mention their qissa, Ikhwan, in its place, inshaAllah. From them likewise, Ikhwan, was Mus'ab ibn Umair. Mus'ab ibn Umair was among those who embraced relatively early, and he embraced, though not among the first wave of companions who embraced, but he was slightly later. He had embraced after the Messenger وسلم, took the Darul Arqam, or the house of Arqam ibn Abi al-Arqam, as their base. And it was within the house of Darul Arqam, or the house of Arqam, that the Prophet وسلم, or that Mus'ab ibn Umair, he received da'wah, and he was taught by one of the companions after receiving da'wah. And it was said concerning him that he was mudallal, that he was from the companions who was spoilt prior to him embracing, that he received anything he wished and anything he desired for, that his parents were wealthy and they would give him everything and anything. And so he was not like the other youth of Quraysh. It was said concerning him, Ikhwan, that you could smell him before you saw him. That he was one, Ikhwan, that was not given to hunting, horse riding, or any of those things that the youth, even though he was young in age, but none of those things that the Shabab of Quraysh were involved in. In his wealth raised him far above them and made him different to them, until he heard the da'wah of the Messenger. When he heard the da'wah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was attracted by the da'wah. He made it clear to his parents that he was listening and taking from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so they laid down an ultimatum. Either if you wish for this life of yours and this lifestyle of yours to continue, you were to leave Muhammad. Or we are cutting and removing from you all wealth and anything that you now receive and anything that we give you now. And so of course, Mus'ab ibn Umair, he chose the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam over the wealth of his parents. And because of it, Ikhwan, he was persecuted again. He was from those who were persecuted. In fact, he was chained. There was a period, Ikhwan, of Mus'ab was chained and prevented from moving on the basis of that which he believed in from the da'wah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He escaped and he made the migration, one of the migrations, the first migration to Habasha with those who migrated, and then ultimately it was him that was sent by the Messenger of Allah to give da'wah to the people of Medina. And it was his da'wah, ikhwan, after staying there a year, that caused the large multitude of individuals in Medina to desire the Messenger of Allah to make the migration to come to Mecca, to come to Medina from Mecca, and establish himself in Medina. So as far as the persecution, ikhwan, a note on the persecution before we round up, what we wanted to mention was the fact that it should be said, as Imam Ibn Ishaq mentions, that the persecution didn't start initially. The persecution that they suffered when the Prophet ﷺ first gave da'wah, calling to Allah Azza wa Jal, calling to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, initially the persecution didn't begin until they learned of the fact that he was speaking against the idols. When he was calling to Allah Azza wa Jal, and they didn't realize that he was speaking against the idols, the persecution didn't begin. They thought it was a deen that was strange, it was a deen that was different, but the persecution did not begin. Ibn Ishaq, he mentions, فَلَمَّا بَادَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَوْمَهُ بِالْإِسْلَامِ وَسَدَعَ بِهِ كَمَا أَمَرَهُ اللَّهِ لَمْ يَبْعْدْ مِنْهُ قَوْمُهُ وَلَمْ يَرُدُّ عَلَيْهِ فِيمَا بَلَغَنِي حَتَّى ذَكَرَ آلِهَتَهُمْ وَعَابَهَا. He said that indeed in the beginning, the Prophet ﷺ, when he began giving them da'wah, and he was direct in terms of calling them, and carried out that which Allah Azza wa Jal commanded him, فَاسْدَعْ بِمَا تُؤْمَرْ, carry out that which you have been commanded, and give da'wah to your people. His people did not distance themselves from him. You know, they didn't cut him off or have any aversion to him. And neither did they refute or rebuke him for his practice. And so they didn't speak ill of him, they didn't have a problem with him, they didn't have a problem with what he was saying initially. He said, حَتَّى ذَكَرَ آلِهَتَهُمْ, until he mentioned their idols. Until he mentioned their idols. And it is a benefit, ikhwan, for every da'i ila Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not say, well, let me just call to Allah Azza wa Jal and leave the idols thing. Let me just call to Allah. They'll learn Tawheed and they themselves will recognize they shouldn't be worshipping the idols. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't make that statement. Rather, he mentioned them. As Ibn Ishaq, he mentioned, حَتَّى ذَكَرَ آلِهَتَهُمْ وَعَابَهَا, until he mentioned the idols and dispraised them, spoke ill of them. And that is the nature of the da'wah, ikhwan. The da'wah, it rattles cages. The da'wah, it addresses affairs. And the affair, no doubt, at the time of the Prophet ﷺ was something that he could likewise have said. Well, as far as this affair of mentioning the idols and it is causing this persecution, let me leave it. Again, we did not have that, ikhwan. He conveyed from his Lord. فَلَمَّا فَعَلَ ذَلِكَ أَعْظَمُوهُ وَنَاكَرُوهُ وَجَمَعُوا خِلَافَهُ وَعَدَاوَتَهُ. He said, but when he mentioned the idols, that was when they saw his affair to be something great and tremendous. Yani tremendous in evil. وَنَاكَرُوهُ, and they were against him and saw him to be upon a path of evil. وَأَجْمَعُوا خِلَافَهُ, and they gathered upon opposing him and upon having enmity for him, other than a small handful. As he mentioned, إِلَّا مَنْ عَسَمَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى مِنْهُمْ بِالْإِسْلَامِ وَهُمْ قَلِيلٌ مُسْتَخْفَوْنَ. He said, other than those who Allah Azza wa Jal blessed with Islam, and they were small in number, and initially, as we have discussed, then they were individuals who were hiding, or they didn't make their affair apparent. And so the affair then, ikhwan, is one for us to reflect upon. That is, that the enmity the problem that occurred among them, the persecution that came from the mushrikun of the Arab, did not begin, ikhwan, initially. When the Prophet ﷺ was calling to Allah Azza wa Jal, calling to Islam, there was no issue until he began to dispraise the idols. And it was that they had an issue with, and that is something for every da'i and every caller to reflect upon, ikhwan. That munkar, it has to be mentioned. That is the nature of the da'wah. That evil, it has to be mentioned. It has to be rectified. It has to be spoken against. And when it is spoken against, na'am, it rattles cages. Na'am, it upsets some. But that was the nature of the da'wah of every single one of the prophets and the messengers. Not one of them came, ikhwan, except that they corrected errors, they corrected wrongs. And they made statements, ikhwan, that caused some of the society and some of the people to become and to get upset. And that was the nature of the da'wah. That is the nature of the da'wah of every single one of the prophets and the messengers, from Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam up until Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the affair of the da'wah will not change. Since the da'wah, ikhwan, as Shu'aib alayhi salatu wasalam, he mentioned, in uridu illa al-israh mastata'at, that indeed I wished only to rectify as much as I am able. And rectification, ikhwan, necessitates creating and rattling some cages. And some people may be upset initially until they learn of the khair and they learn of that which was brought by all of the prophets and the messengers, ridwanullahi alayhim. We'll look likewise, ikhwan, at some of the a'immatul kufr in our session next week, because just as we have from among the great noble companions, that first dufa and that first wave of companions that embraced, we likewise had those who qabalahum min a'immatil kufr, Utba ibn Rabi'a, Walid ibn al-Mughira, and others from among the a'imma and the imams of kufr during that time. And we'll mention the affair, ikhwan, in next week's session, bi'idhnillah. هذا والله تعالى أعلم وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين. ابن إسحاق لا ابن إسحاق. The mistake, إخوان, if I mention ابن هشام. La, to Ibn Ishaq. To Ibn Ishaq. Yani that mistake about Aisha that is present within his book. That Aisha was born 1 year after the Bi'tha, 1 year after the Prophet ﷺ was made a messenger. And that was Ibn Ishaq, not Ibn Hisham. Sa'd ibn Malik. Abu Waqqas. أبو سعيد سعد بن سنان بن مالك. نعم سعد بن سنان بن مالك سعد بن مالك كلاهما. نعم ها شيخ. I remember coming across the statement of Sheikh ibn Uthaymeen concerning that, يعني the woman who marries more than once in the dunya, then who will be her husband in the hereafter? There's a statement of Sheikh ibn Uthaymeen that he mentions that she will be given the choice. She will be given the choice. That's if they get the if they get to paradise as well. She'll be given the choice now. So may the best man win. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina.